Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today for the Friday broadcast. Well, as I always say on Fridays, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. And so I hope that you'll be in church this weekend, and I pray that you will worship in spirit and truth, be an encouragement to your pastor, be an encouragement to your congregation. You know, sometimes just showing up encourages your pastor, and I think your pastor will preach better if the sanctuary is full. And he's going to preach good no matter what happens, but there's something about having people in the audience, and there's energy as people are there. And I know some people are listening online, I understand that, but I want to encourage you, as soon as possible, get back to church. Your church needs you, you need church, and there's something about gathering together. There's that energy, there's that encouragement that we receive one from another. Well, today I want to talk to you on this Friday broadcast about a cry of desperation. What do you do when you are in a desperate time? I think about Matthew 14:30. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, you know the story. Peter begins to sink. He cries out to the Lord to save him. And lo and behold, he is saved. Now here's a part that's very powerful. Sinking times are praying times. In sinking times, our praying times, and short prayers are long enough. When you are going through a time of desperation, sometimes you don't have long prayers. You give a short, quick little prayer. About 30 years ago, my wife and I were driving back to Lynchburg. I was a student at Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary. She was a student at Liberty University. And I were driving back after we had spent time with my family over the Christmas break, my family up in Massachusetts. Now, we were newlyweds, we were young, but we were financially broke. I mean, we were college students, and we were just trying to work things out the best we could. Our vehicles were old. I had a little Nissan Sentra that had, I said it had leprosy because it had so much rust. It was breaking through. It had no reverse gear. And my sister had that car, and she gave it to me. And it had no reverse gear, and it needed some work. And so my dad decided that he put some sheet metal where the floorboards were rusted out, and on the doors where they were rusted out. And I was very gracious for that. I graciously appreciated that car, but I didn't think it would make it to New England and back. So my in-laws had just bought a brand new Toyota Camry. And they said, "Hey, you guys can go ahead and take that on the long trip up to New England and back." And so we were just like overjoyed, right? Here we are driving around in this brand new car heading up to New England. And we made it up there safe, had a great time. We're heading on back. And as we come into just outside of Charlottesville, going down 29, it's freezing. It snowed when I left my mom's house, my mom and dad's house, and then it turns into freezing rain, and it really is starting to accumulate on the roads. Things are really getting slippery, and as we proceed into just outside of Charlottesville, we hit a slick ice patch, and the car starts to spin, and I try to correct it, but it was too late. The car was completely out of control. The car spun around, and all I could do was cry out, "Lord, help us!" Now, we ended up on the side of a ditch, and I knew I couldn't back out of that ditch. And so I prayed, "Lord, what am I going to do?" And so the answer came quickly. I told Sherry, my wife, I said, "We're going to just drive down this ravine and come up on the other side." She thought I was crazy. To her amazement, and to mine, I've got to admit, we made it safely down that ravine and up the other side, and we continued on our journey. We decided to stop at the next gas station, and I pulled in there thinking, well, for sure I had damaged my in-law's brand new car. And Sharon and I had just been married about 6 months at that time. And I'm sure I was going to be excommunicated by the family. The car is covered with a sheet of ice and snow everywhere. Upon careful inspection and a quick car wash, I could not find one scratch on that car. You see, our quick prayer protected us from harm. And God even graciously protected the car with a nice layer of snow and ice over it so that it was not even scratched. You see, when you think about emergencies don't usually give us any advance warning. So when they come, quick prayers are required. When Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, they came up against the Red Sea. They turned around and looked up, and there was Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. So they cried out to the Lord, and God delivered them. A few chapters later, the people were ticked off at Moses, and they're going to stone him. So Moses cries out to the Lord, and God delivers them. You know, something about crying out to the Lord in our times of trouble. God always hears us. Now, may I encourage you with this thought? Make sure God knows your voice, and he doesn't just hear from you in times of crisis. You see, you and I have people in our lives that only cry out to us when they need something. We help them, but we feel frustrated and we feel used by them. I'm guessing the Lord feels the same way when we just cry out to him in our times of need, but rarely cry out to him with our thanksgiving. After realizing God protected us from what could have been a serious car accident on that snowy road on the outskirts of Charlottesville, Sherry and I prayed and gave thanks for God's hand of protection, and we made it home safely. You are taking an incredible step in your faith as you think about what God can do if you really get serious about praying. Now, every Thursday morning at 5 a.m., I have 12 or 15 people that call in on a conference call, and from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., we pray. We spend an hour praying every week. And as we pray, we realize that God has an opportunity to hear from those who love him. It is a sacrifice, I must admit, to pray at 5 a.m. Now, I like to get up in the morning early, but I don't like to talk to anybody real early in the morning. I just like to get up, have my coffee, spend my time in my devotional time. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. And just go about. I mean, my house is quiet at 5 o'clock in the morning, about the only time of the day it's quiet. I want you to know that our Lord, our Savior, is a righteous Savior. Charles Spurgeon reminds us that a quiet place is where we can experience the joy because of the righteousness of Christ. He says, it's no wonder those who are dwelling upon their own corruption should wear such depressed looks. But surely if we call to mind that Christ has become for us our righteousness, we shall be of good cheer. Listen, when you're on your face before God, you realize that he is God and he is in control. And if God's in control, everything's going to be okay. In 1933, Karl Barth wrote his discouraged colleague, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he was discouraged with Bonhoeffer because Bonhoeffer had fled Germany because of persecution. Hitler was moving in and pressure was brought upon those of Jewish descent. And so Bonhoeffer fled Germany to pastor a church in England. This is what Karl Barth wrote. He says, what is this all about? Going away and quietness of pastoral work in quotes? He says, at a moment when you're most needed in Germany. You who know all well as the opposition in Berlin and the opposition of the church in Germany as a whole stands inwardly on such a weak feet. He's really exhorting Bonhoeffer and says, why are you leaving at such a time as this? He writes this letter and he says, all of us we know are suffering. We're all under quite common difficult times. But in this present chaos, the church needs you more now than ever before. He continues on and says, one simply cannot become weary now, still less can one go to England. What in the world would you want to do there, he says. You must now leave all those intellectual flourishes, those special considerations, however interesting they may be, and think of only one thing. That you are a German, and the German church is on fire, and the German church needs you now more than ever before. Please post your next ship and come on back. Well, if you know anything about the story of Bonhoeffer, he did return to Germany 16 months later. And as he goes back there, he has a great time of revival, and he has hearts that are changed. Unfortunately, he ends up dying for his faith. I think about where we are today as a nation. I think about what our nation needs now more than ever before. The nation now more than ever before needs the church to be bold, the church to be strong, Those who are part of the church should not be overcome with this fear of the coronavirus. We should not be overwhelmed with the fact that we are being rejected. We should realize that that ought to give us an opportunity to really be on fire for the Lord. You see, the darker a culture gets, the more it needs the light of Christ. I mentioned Karl Barth in that letter that he wrote. He also preached regularly, Karl Barth did, to inmates in his hometown in Switzerland. As he would preach to these inmates, the knowledge of the sermons that he had and the audience that he had, they were an audience that had a difficult time grasping the truth. And so he would quote Ephesians 2:8 to them, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. It is a gift of God." And he was trying to figure out, how can I get this point across to these men who are incarcerated? And so he said, "I will illustrate it by retelling you a Swiss legend." He says, "I don't know if you have heard of the legend of the rider who crossed the frozen Lake Constance by night without even knowing it. Amazing legend. When he reached the opposite shore, he was told whence he came from. He broke down and he was horrified. This is the human situation when the skies open, the earth is bright, when we may hear, 'By grace you have been saved.' In such a moment, we feel like that terrified rider. When we hear this word, we involuntarily look back. Do we not, asking ourselves, 'Where have I been? Over an abyss? In mortal danger? What did I do? The most foolish thing I ever attempted. What happened? I was doomed and miraculously escaped, and now I am safe.'" That is a beautiful picture of where we are as followers of Christ. We are going to be safe. We're going to be protected. We must not look at all of the dangers that are around us, but we must get to the other side of that frozen lake, realizing when we get to the other side that we look back and we say, "Man, that was crazy what we did, but God did an amazing thing." God is able to sustain us. You see, everyone who is trusting Christ for salvation is doing it by grace alone. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. You are in mortal danger. As you think about what Christ can do for you, He can rescue you from your sins. He can rescue you from where you are in your life right now. He can bring about a new life to you. He can set you free. As we look at what God has done for us, it is amazing what we can do when we are totally surrendered to Him. Sometimes I look at my life and I say, it seems to me that I had more courage when I was younger. I didn't worry about playing it safe. And something happens as you get older. Sometimes you tend to lose that fire. You tend to lose that drive. I remember starting the church, I had no fears whatsoever. Packing up the family and moving across state, I thought everybody did crazy things like that. Without a job, without any congregation, without any kind of pay. I said, well, everybody does this, right? Now, very few people do that. I didn't realize how big of a sacrifice it was until I looked back and I said, we must have been foolish. We were going across this lake and we could have been killed, but God protected us. I want you to know that God's protection is with you. I want to read you some Psalms that I think will really, really encourage you today. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He rescues them." Now, the psalmist says he's using that word fear, is not using fear in the traditional sense, like I'm afraid of him. But he talks about the fact that the Lord encompasses those who reverence Him, and He rescues them. Oh, I'm so glad that God always comes through at just the right time. He always rescues us. He's never early, nor is He ever late. I remember one time we were trying to raise money to buy our property, and I remember we needed to raise $60,000, and this was an unbelievable achievement for such a small, a fledgling little congregation. And I remember the Friday before we were going to go to closing, we were $10,000 short. I had a little thermometer up front of the church, and we were short. It was obvious we were short. And I said, well, we're going to go to closing this week. And I said, well, I got a credit card. I guess I could slap $10,000 on that credit card to get the rest of this down payment. And I remember at the end of that service, there was a gentleman in that service, and he had been listening to our service. He was one of the Hickory Roarton Club members and was listening to the service. And I didn't know he was listening. He was in the kitchen, and he came back out toward the end of the service. And everybody was pretty much leaving, and he came up to me, and he shook my hand, and he said, "I enjoyed the service today." And he says, "I want you to know that I dropped out of church 10 years ago, and I was so discouraged with all the fighting that goes on with churches." And he says, "I just dropped out, and he says, I realized I need to be in church. I want to recommit my life to Christ." And I prayed with this man, and at the conclusion of that prayer, he says, "I'm not sure what this church is doing and where you guys are headed, but God's placed it upon my heart to give you a check." And he gave me a check for $10,000. You see, I could tell you story and story and story after how God has provided for us. God is a God who will rescue us if we are committed to him. Psalm 91, verse number 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Oh, my friend, would you abide in the shelter of the Most High? And by doing that, you are able to be with the Almighty. God will give you direction. God will give you purpose for your life. God will open up doors that you never thought were possible. God will give you strengths in the areas of your life's greatest weaknesses. The psalmist, and you're very familiar with Psalm 23, said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I don't know about you, but that is a source of encouragement as you go through the valleys, the shadow of death, that we don't have to fear evil. Why? Because our God is with us every step of the way. He brings about comfort. It says that rod and that staff comfort us. And sometimes God uses that rod to correct us. Sometimes he uses that staff to pull us out of a tough situation. But our God is always there with us. And Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble." I love that phrase. "You preserve me from trouble." That could be more accurately translated. You protect me in times of trouble. It doesn't say that I'm going to be exempt from troubles, but when troubles come my way, I am preserved. The psalmist continues on by saying, "You surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah." In other words, God is going to step in there and he's going to give us songs of deliverance. You know, one of the things I'm looking forward to in heaven is that in heaven, I will be able to sing. I wish I could sing now, and every once in a while I try to sing a little bit, and I just don't have a very good singing voice, but in heaven, I will be singing. I promise you I will be singing. I will be singing songs of celebration, songs of deliverance. I'll be singing up there with those who have gone on before. I'll be singing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 91, verse number 11 says, "He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways." Isn't it so good to know that God will guard us in all of our ways? Psalm 34, 17 through 19, it says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and he saves those who are of a crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." The Lord will guard you going out and you're coming in for this time and now and forevermore. I am happy to announce to you today that God is the one who brings about deliverance. He always will. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because of temptation. Maybe you're feeling like you just cannot get past a sin that you are battling. I want to give a quick invite to Celebrate Recovery. And then I want to share with you in the last few minutes of the broadcast a verse that I have applied to my life that will bring about deliverance in your times of greatest trial, in times of greatest temptation. Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that I so love. Celebrate Recovery was started in a church out in California, Saddleback Church, and it is a powerful, powerful ministry. And as we think about what God can do through your life, he can bring about that deliverance from any kind of hurt, habit, or hang-up that you have in your life. So today, I want to encourage you to be part of Celebrate Recovery. We have Celebrate Recovery every Sunday night at 6 o'clock at the Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia. Hope you come. You don't have to call. Just show up Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you there. Now, let's talk about what we can do when we're feeling overwhelmed and we're feeling like We're going to fall into some kind of temptation, and we're not going to get the victory of it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 just happens to be my life verse, and so I want to close off the broadcast by explaining to you why this verse is so powerful to me. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, 10:13, "There is no trial taking us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it." Now, the reason this is my life verse is because many years ago, I went through about a year of depression. It was before I was married. I was a very young man, and I had been involved in an accident where I injured somebody quite extensively, and I just couldn't get past that. The guilt led to the depression, and for about a year of my life, I kind of have a very few memories of that particular year. And I was going to one of the counselors, and the counselor gave me this verse, and the counselor reminded me of some things that I needed to be reminded of. One is that in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of depression, it's always bigger than just the person who's depressed. You see, I got so depressed because I kept looking within. I kind of kept thinking, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands the pain and the anguish and the guilt that I'm experiencing. And so this counselor wisely said to me, "Listen, you're not the first person that has gone through something like this." And so this counselor said, "Here, I want you to memorize this verse." And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 was the verse that I memorized. And it begins by saying, "There is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man." In other words, everything that we're going through, whether it be a trial, whether it be a temptation, it's common to man. Now, when we're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel very common. It feels like it's something very unique to us and to us alone. But Paul reminds us it is common to man. And then he adds a little phrase and he says, "But God is faithful." Even though I'm not always faithful, God is always faithful. I can always rely on him no matter what. I may not be able to rely on myself. I may not be able to rely on somebody else, but God is faithful. And he will not allow me or you to be tried above that which you're able. In other words, God knows your breaking point. When trials come our way, we don't know our breaking point. I want you to know that your breaking point is further down the road than you think it is. You are able to handle more than you think you are able to handle because God's grace is sufficient. God is able to give you grace for that moment. Now, I've discovered something about grace. We don't get it ahead of time. We can't store it up ahead. We can't save it for the future. It's kind of like manna. Do you remember in the Old Testament when Moses told the Israelites to go out and gather manna? They had to gather it every day. They couldn't gather enough for 2 days except for on the Sabbath. And if they gathered too much, it went bad. Grace is the same way. God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. So I told you that we have a breaking point. God knows where our breaking point is. We don't. As we get to the closeness of that breaking point, God says, "I'm going to give you a way of escape so that you can bear it." I look at two things when I think about that way of escape. Number one, I look at the temptation is getting too great for you. I'm going to provide an exit strategy. I'm going to give you a way out of this temptation. I also look at it when we're going through trials. As the pressure of that trial begins to weigh down on us and we're almost broken beyond repair, God says, "I have a way out of it. I am going to give you that escape." I think about the story of Abraham. Abraham brings his son Isaac up onto the Mount of Moriah. God told him to sacrifice that son. And as he is about to sacrifice Isaac, there's a ram caught in the thicket. God provided a way of escape at just the right moment. I want you to know that when you're going through times of difficulty, God always provides a way of escape so that you can be able to bear it. God's goal for your life is not to overwhelm you. God's goal for your life is not to drive you to devastation. He provides a way of escape. I have found that as I pray through my trials and I pray through my difficulties, God always comes through at just the right moment. It's never early, it's never late, it's always right on time. So Lord, we come before you as we conclude this broadcast. We admit that we are highly flawed individuals that need a touch of your grace, that need to tap into your mercy. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've given us the Word of God that can instruct us, that can guide us, and can comfort us in our times of need. I pray that we will follow through and obey your word all the days of our lives. Thank you for those who are listening today. I pray a prayer of blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.